This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:09 in the evening, and our first story comes from Free Malaysia Today, and it's about the incoming sugar tax set to be imposed by April this year. Now, several people that the FMT spoke to believes that the tax is just not going to work and might actually hurt groups of people. For instance, one person, Marissa Thomas, is skeptical of the tax and wants the government to instead come up with an effective way to educate the public on how to consume sugary foods and beverages in moderation instead of raising the prices of desserts and sugary drinks.
She believes it will hurt manufacturers. The sugar tax comes in the form of an excise tax of 40 cents per litre on sweetened beverages with more than 5 grams of sugar or sugar-based sweetener per 100 millilitres. This includes carbonated drinks as well as flavoured and other non-alcoholic beverages. The tax will also be imposed on juice or vegetable-based drinks with over 12 grams of sugar per 100 millilitres.
So while the Health Ministry and other related agencies have welcomed the tax as a step towards addressing issues such as obesity, critics say that it won't be enough to make a difference. For instance, cafe owner Amy Chu said her staff had been trying to teach people to enjoy their beverages without adding in extra sugar, but observed that based on the trend of her cafe customers, once you are a sugar drink person, you tend to stick to it, adding that the tax isn't going to convert a fan of sweet drinks to one who isn't.
The government's announcement of the tax followed a study by the Health Ministry, which found that nearly 1 in 2 Malaysians is overweight or obese. However, Chu said that if authorities were serious about reducing Malaysia's obesity rate, they should start with the food served in school canteens as well as the cafeterias at private and government institutions.
Anyway, the message here was quite clear from all the people they spoke to that the sugar tax alone will not work to change habits. So we're going to talk a little bit more about the tax in a short while with Lee Hock An, Senior Fellow at the ICU's Yusof Ishak Institute. In the meantime, though, I am curious to know, Calvin, do you think that it's going to work? Because for me, I am a non-sugar drinker. I'm a kosong orderer at every mamak and coffee shop that I go to. But I do so just because I gave it up, I guess, the way some people give up smoking. I just gave it up cold turkey.
Well, I occasionally get the cravings for sugary drinks, I think. Because I think for me, if I only spend on it very, very rarely, I think it's the tax wouldn't hurt me as much. But I think for people who may perhaps, I guess for groups of people, especially the poor, who perhaps use sugar as an easy way to get energy, to get carbs, it might hurt them a lot more. And that's not enough. I think with the sugar tax right now in its current form, it's too much stick and not enough carrot.
It's not even...
It's literally not enough carrot because you can't, healthy foods and vegetables are expensive.
I agree. And I don't think it's even about what people are purchasing food for. I don't think it's about that. I think it's more about what foods are available at a lower price point and how much sugars are in those foods. And so if you look at that entire category of cereals, of sweetened milks, of sweetened drinks, of cordial... if you look at that entire category of food that is more, I suppose it's more affordable, and now it's going to become that much less affordable. It's just a little bit off-putting. I understand the concern that it does hurt some segments of society more than others. So let's try to understand this. On the line, we do have Lee Hock An, Senior Fellow at the ICU's Yusof Ishak Institute. Hock An, thanks for joining us. So let's talk about this. What is your take on imposing tax at the point of consumption? How effective would that be at reducing sugar intake?
Well, I mean, I think we have to not only rely on this as one measure. I mean, this is just sort of a more general point, but I think it certainly enters the picture here. Consumers will respond to rising prices, and I think in this matter, I think it has a good justification as something that is unhealthy, bad for the body, for the teeth, and let's not forget as well, it's being sold in disposable single-use cans and bottles. So there's plenty of that sort of justification. And there are alternatives in terms of buying less or buying other drinks. And so, I think it's something that has it should be, you know, pursued because of those justifications. And I think it stands to, depending on the level, of course, you know, but I think it has good potential to achieve its purposes.
You know, most of the people the FMT spoke to feels like it's likely not going to work and might actually hurt certain groups of people more than it does others. Who do you think stands to, I guess, suffer most from the new sugar tax?
Well, you know, it's not rice. It's not a basic item or a staple. So I guess in terms of, you know, the targeting, you know, again, it's quite measured and reasonable. Of course, yeah, we don't want to minimize that there will be, you know, adjustment costs. And so, yeah, the people who are consuming a lot and may at the moment lack the alternatives may have to bear more of that, the brunt of it a little bit more. But I think it's something that is really worth, you know, pursuing with a bit more boldness and including the messaging of on various fronts, not just the drinks, but also, you know, the single-use plastics and cans. And it's not just about whether we should buy other cans and bottled drinks, but just plain and simple and healthy water. Getting your own bottle and filling it. I mean, some of these will take time, you know, when on this issue, I was just, you know, my mind sort of traveled back to a time in KLIA early on when I was really exasperated. I could never find a water fountain.
Yes, I've
and
lived
then
this life
as well. And
then
there was one, or maybe in, you know, the terminal, there was one. And one company sponsored it and put it up there. But it was usually not functional. You know, the water was such a trickle, you had to slurp so loud. But there was some progress. And now I do see, that's what I'm talking about, maybe, you know, 15 years ago. More recently now, and especially in KLIA 2, they have become more common. And it seems that they are a bit more part of, you know, basic amenities at the airport. And you do see people filling up their bottles. So, I mean, it's just a small and anecdotal example. But yet, you know, it just goes to show that, you know, taste can change. And partly people are filling bottles because they don't want to buy. And they're made to buy and spend money on the flights.
So when we talk about this change of habit and the kinds of moves, I suppose, that need to be made in that direction, so how is that amount decided when it comes to taxation? And is there that tipping point where, you know what, this tax is just too much, I'm not going to consume this item?
Yeah, that's a difficult question. I suppose one that, you know, needs to be can do research and field experiments on that. But obviously, it has to be something that will really bite. I think if you look back at plastic bags, I think at the time that Selangor was charging a mere, you know, 20 cents, and I think it didn't really have much effect because, that, you know, at that rate, well, people were, many were just willing to pay for it. And then, of course, you know, it became a fiasco then. And then it was given up for free anyway. But if it is something that is really enforced, and I think in this case a bit more enforceable at the rate that really there will be a pinch, then I think it will start to. I mean, we're not talking about people, you know, abruptly stopping altogether, but making changes in the taste and in their lifestyle.
In your opinion, would imposing this tax on producers and distributors be a more effective way to curb consumption of sugar?
Well, I think there are alternatives that are worth exploring, but the advantage of you know, charging at the final, the retail level, is that you ensure that the price, you know, does get reflected and it's passed on to the consumer. So I'm not so sure about how the other mechanisms will operate, and I don't really have an opinion on which one could be more effective. But ultimately, you know, it's a question of, and also not to mention that there's the tax revenue, and if we could set up a system in which this is a tax that can be funneled back into promoting, you know, health, public health, then, you know, it also, I mean, adds to the kind of wins that we can get out of it.
Hoan, earlier you made mention of how, you know, people's tastes can be changed, but they might be slow in changing, and that also the importance of communicating the benefits of this, it matters. What are the aspects that you would like to see communicated? You've mentioned a few things, but if you were to sum it up in terms of the kinds of things that need to be to accompany the sugar tax in order for it to make sense to the average consumer.
I don't know if I would be adding more to ensure what is already in the public domain and in people's coffee, shop talk, which we hope is also low sugar coffee. On the health side, I think we can add on the environment side, about the kind of single use plastics. Which it has also, the government has made that commitment, is it by 2030, to eliminate that. So make that part of something bigger and a longer term objective. And just to make people more aware about the alternatives in terms of healthier drinks and get into the habit of bringing your own water in a bottle to more places.
Hoan, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you very much.
That was Lee Hoan, Senior Fellow at the IC's Yusof Ishak Institute, discussing the upcoming sugar tax that's going to be kicked in April. We've got more music that's going to take you up to the 5:30 news, so keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.